Okay. Okay, you got 6 more minutes to go, huh? While waiting for the rest, we can just prepare ourselves, huh? So today, there will be no Dhamma sharing on Diamond Sutta. Next Tuesday also, there will be no Diamond Sutta sharing. But we have reserved these 2 weeks for developing the understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way this Tuesday, means today. Then next Tuesday is the special puja for this Bodhisattva vow. Eh? So those who have already developed the understanding and wants to take the vow and aspiration, you can on that day do it. You don't have to worry about what people say, that after you take the vow, you cannot become enlightened. Forget about that. That is going to take very, very long. It's not what people say. The Bodhisattva way actually is to be taken by enlightened being. But even before you become enlightened, when you have the causes and conditions and the understanding, you should start developing the understanding to take it, because you got nothing for you to lose. You got everything to gain, and I will explain to you all later on. Yeah, this way is very unique. This way you can cultivate without mark of a self, walking the Bodhisattva way or cultivating, wanting to be enlightened, because you come for the living being. So you are here to take the 4 basic vow to save the limitless living beings, then to endure and severe all suffering of affliction, then to cultivate, to perfect all dhammas so that you can penetrate all dhammas to understand all this. Then when you cultivate this perfection of the first 3 basic vow, you actually develop a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then only you can clearly understand the law of karma and all those things. Then only you can teach and share and liberate living beings. Because without this understanding, your understanding is very limited. Maybe enough to free yourself. Self-enlightenment. Not to say good or bad, because if you have a thought that tells you, I don't want to go this way because it's too long, then the self is there, understand? The atta is there. Then this self wants to be enlightened this life immediately. So when you look at it, it actually counterproductive. Understand? You are actually contradicting yourself. Where you think there is a being who cultivate, who can become enlightened. So all this will limit you, and you can struggle very, very hard. But during the Buddha's time is different, the sasana that time is different, because the nature's energy is different, and all the great beings at that time, and they are all with the roots, with the past cultivation. That's why when they come, they can understand very fast. And most of them, during that time, they are already bodhisattvas. But it was not mentioned in the Theravada Sutta. That's why a lot of these things you cannot understand until later. So this is briefly a short summary before we really start. Come. We are still early. We got 3 more minutes. We start exactly at about 8:10. Then we can get, I think, maybe now we can get 6 or 7 of you to come and light the candle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 6. Okay, I will get the other lighter. Maybe today we give the honor to those who actually help out to make all this Kayamita recording, sharing possible. Yeah. I will get Pamasuri, Teo, Sui An, Mi Fong, then Hui Rong come. Then Stephanie, yeah, come. Six of you come. Like, help to light the candle. Yeah. Then prepare for puja. Yeah. Come. The two lighters are here. The other one can use the lighter. Yeah? You can light any of the candles or the incense, up to you. Yeah, yeah, any of them. Yeah? Okay, the rest can gather, eh? Then we can start our puja. Mm. Oh, off the fan, Jin Hao, sorry. sorry. Okay, yeah. Sadhu. Okay, very song, come. Get the tree, eh? Any more offering heaven send? Oh. What is it? Bring. We make the offering on it, don't worry. Just bring. Whatever offering that you have brought along, just bring. Because the puja is very short, about 5 or 8 minutes. You can put one offering at Amitabha, the place there. Put the lamp in, further in, the candle, further in. Okay. Come. The papaya I can put here. Put here. Then the cake put there. Put Amitabha there, the cake. That cake also put Kuan Yin here. Come. Put here. Sadhu. Wow, how come today got cake? Sadhu. Okay, we can start off with the tray. The tray is most important because it symbolizes the clear water, the incense, and the candle of light. Sadhu. Sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Ask Queenie to bring sadhu, 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 sadhu. Can on back the fan. Sadhu, sadhu. Number two. Never mind, leave it. Leave it. Number two now. The direction is correct. Right? Hey, don't turn it out. See? Okay. And now. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Use the lighter, use the lighter. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we offer the rest of the item, the cake. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, good. Thank you. You all can be seated, eh? Ingby, the cake, put it back to the fridge. Otherwise, it really will melt. Yeah, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Yeah. Go. Okay. You all can be seated, then we will start the puja. I will have to adjust the fan. Don't worry. No. I will adjust the fan. Okay. just maintain some of our attention, relax body and mind, then develop the faith, sada, virya, then we will start the puja. Okay, compose your mind, then we will start. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. 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 Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha Pho. 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 Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. Then we will start off the puja chanting. Okay, ready? Now we will chant the Tisara. Oh, sorry, Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapadithena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja baca namuttamang, vanna ganda guno petang, etang kesuma santatin, pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, pujaimi putang kesumenanena, punena matena ceho tumokang, pupamila yati yata idang me, kayo tata yati vinasa bawang, andaya setu no bante, paniyang parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigang hatu mutamang, adiva setu no bante, pale parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigang hatu mutamang, adivasetu no bante, bojana parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offerings of flowers strengthens our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of this merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Tripa Jama. Bedang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Huh? Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, before we start off with the sharing on the Bodhisattva way, I would like to go ahead with the invitation to of all the devas, invocation of all the deities and the devas to come and partake in this particular special sharing. So now we will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation. Those who are new, you listen attentively with the faith, then you just silent. And if you understand, you just rejoice. Invocation to the devas or deities. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. For those who are new, we are on page 6 of the chanting book. Then pass the mic to MB. Pass to MB. Then we will recite the Pali.
Samantha Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango สามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยาติดังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตถปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดักขิเนโยอัญจาลิการาเนโยโนตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุGive will pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang puji mi. Damang puji mi. Sanghang puji mi. Okay, thank you. You can be seated.Then we will off the light. Then we will have about 20 minutes of meditation. Then I will ring the bell. Then after that, you will slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we can start our today's sharing on understanding the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Yeah? Okay, I will off the other side of the light. Yeah? For those who already know how to meditate, huh, please proceed with the meditation.For those who still need to develop the training of the mind because your spiritual faculty are still not developed, then you train yourself accordingly. Yeah? If you still need to use the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, then please go ahead and combine loving kindness or metta to bring about the tranquility of mind, the stillness of the mind, leading to inner peace.Followed by inner well-being. The mind that has inner peace and inner well-being is very conducive for meditation. That's why precept, which is the source of inner joy or spiritual joy. And if you keep your precept, if you develop virtue, it's also the source of true peacefulness of mind. That's why you can meditate. That's whyAll meditation start with sila. Then after that, the last advantage is precepts of virtue is a source of true spiritual wealth. Through that, you develop a mind that is conducive to develop spiritual understanding and the condition to receive spiritual teaching. That's why it's a source of spiritual wealth. So these are important understanding. Then after that,When you have retrained your mind to be peaceful, quiet, silent, and aware within, then you have to stabilize it. Yeah. So the stabilizing of it, if your spiritual faculty are still not developed, not so stable, then you need to train. That's why the technique, method, and object of meditation comes in for you to anchor your mind, to stabilize the awareness, the sati.So all these objects of meditation are for you to train your mind, to stabilize the sati, to anchor your mind, not to focus, not to concentrate, and not to develop all those energy field. So it is just to maintain mindfulness. That's why anapanasati is about mindfulness of the in and out breath. The Buddha never at any one time say you focus at the tip of the nostril or focus on the feeling or whatever. It just say breathing in.Aware, breathing out, aware. Then breathing in a short breath, aware. Breathing in a short breath, aware. A long breath also, you must aware. Then the in and out breath, you maintain, stabilize it. Then breathing in, experiencing the inner peace of the entire body, the breath body and the physical body. Then breathing in, experiencing pity and all those things. So the awareness become very different, very clear.Then there is what they call stability of mindfulness that can allow you to train your mind to meditate accordingly. Then when you have stabilized all this, you just relax into it, every mind state, so that even the piti will become more refined. Piti is a state of spiritual joy or spiritual calmness or spiritual rupture that will arise when you have trained your mind to be in sati without thought. Then as you relax into it, it will become more refined. Then you will experience sukha. Sukha is a blissfulness of mind state. A mind that is much, much more refined than piti. Then you experience the blissfulness of the mind state. You become very blissful, very calm, very still and very quiet. Then later on you continue to relax into it. Even the sukha will transform and become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. This is the mind you aim at to develop as you train. For those who already know how to meditate, the awareness is already there, the sati is already there, the silent mind is already there. So you just have to relax into it and silence everything. Then this pasati or meditative mind, which is just aware and silent, they will arise. Then after that, you can stay there. Whatever object of meditation you have, you just stay there. Then it becomes so subtle and so still, like there is no more movement. There is no more mind to meditate. Then that pasati or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind or meditative mind will stabilize and become very still and very quiet. And that is the meditative mind. Then from there, you just silence everything. The spacious awareness without center can allow you to be mindful whatever that arise within your sense basis, all of your six sense basis. Upon contact, what happened, your awareness will pick it up. Then it can be very sensitive. Then you just stay at the seat of consciousness or the heart area. This is the common entity that must be there whenever consciousness arises. So you stay at the awareness, silent. Then wherever it arises, it will be aware. This is what Tuchupotola was trying to teach. Oh, sorry, that young monk was trying to teach Tuchupotola. So, the six sense bases, they have a common denominator, which is the mind that can be aware. So you stay with the awareness, stay with the silent mind, then you will understand many, many things. Then how you function as a human being, how your mind arise and pass away following the law of dependent origination, dwelling, you will see them all. Then you will also understand upon contact what happened, not only feeling arise, many, many things arise. Then you can also see how you function as a human being, how your form and mind continuously arise consciousness, and how your content of consciousness went into your views, conditioning and all these things. Then from there, how you stir your mind through your wrong view, how you react, how you arise the mental hindrance, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, which the Buddha calls sensual desire and ill will. Then how you actually witness the three evil roots, the essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, how they arise and how they pass away, and how they condition you into negativity. Then you also will experience later on as you progress the seven factors of enlightenment. Then the internal sense bases, external sense bases, then how the 18 sense line arise. So all this you will come to understand, then accumulating into the Four Noble Truths. That's how you finally can transcend form and mind, then realize the enlightenment, awaken to the characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state and non-self. So you just relax and silence your mind to develop all this understanding. Okay, I will allow you to meditate, then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. And for those who still want to continue with the meditation, they can go on. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember, you are here to train the mind so that it has this quality of sati or mindfulness within you. And this trained mind is the meditative mind that you have to use to cultivate, especially the daily mindfulness. To be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and you will become heedful. And the heedful never die. You can do that in the midst of life. You are destined for enlightenment. So with this understanding, hopefully you understand why you meditate and the purpose of meditation. When these are clear, your cultivation becomes easy, path becomes easy. And that's the reason why this today's talk or today's sharing on understanding the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way is very important. Because this is the one that you can help you tremendously in walking the path of Dhamma. You not only can have the condition to become enlightened, but you can develop great wisdom so that you can be a blessing to all. So that you can teach, you can share, and you can take them across, liberate them. Without this understanding, it's very difficult to penetrate the Dhamma, especially the three marks. Not only the three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering, state, and non-self, but when you have the wisdom and the right view and the right understanding, you are not deluded, then you will not cling and hold on to this fire aggregate of form and mind. That's why the Diamond Sutta said, you will cultivate the Bodhisattva way with the understanding that there is no mark of a person self-cultivating. There is no mark of living beings. Then there is no mark of Dhamma. Then everything is clear. That's why this Bodhisattva vow and this Bodhisattva way, they will pave the way for a lot of this understanding to arise. And without this understanding, it's very difficult to really understand the true Buddha Dhamma. Okay, we are going to base it on this book, the Bodhisattva Precept, Direction to Buddhahood by Master Sun Yan. Sun Yan is the late master of Hua Gu San. He is from Taiwan. He is a very good monk. He is an expert in meditation. And their forte within the Buddhist tradition is meditation. Whereas Suji, you know, their forte is what they call the great cultivation of great compassion in life. Means in time of suffering, calamity, nature's disaster, they are there to relieve suffering, so they manifest compassion in action. That's why they train many bodhisattvas, and they call them the bodhisattva among the living beings within society, Si Jian Pusa. So all this are the different tradition. Then Fo Guang, their specialty or their forte is different. They are very strong in Buddhist studies, Buddhist education. That's why they can have very beautiful temples. They got very good teachers who can teach you. So these three traditions, you combine them, is very good. First, you want to learn the teaching, the sutta and all those things, education or what. You can go to Fo Guang. Then after that, you will have to develop the meditation. That's why you have to go to Hua Gu San if you want to. Then later on, when you have really got the Dhamma, then you can go into compassion in action. Or take the Bodhisattva vow to liberate beings. then Tsuchi is a place where you can see and have a lot of opportunity to do all this. But then if you are a true cultivator, the way you will have all these three within your own cultivation. You don't have to go anywhere because you know your vows. You know how to create affinity with all the great beings, the bodhisattvas and the buddhas. All this you will come to understand. Then you know how to make aspiration via your merits, your virtue, your cultivation, your understanding. For this understanding, this true Dhamma understanding, to be with you life after life whenever you come, or whenever you have to come or choose to come. So all this will become possible. Then when you look at the vow, they are actually providing you condition to develop the cultivation, the understanding. The perfection of the Bodhisattva vows will include the three sets of pure precepts, which are the advice of all Sammasambuddhas. And these are all very beautifully written. Then the important right views, leading to all the right understanding. Whenever you arise, you determine to have this understanding. Right view with regards to law of karma, how you function as a human being. Then the Four Noble Truths. Then also, what is this five aggregate form am I? Who are you? What are you? Then you determine to have this understanding life to life, so that you know how to cultivate. So that you know how to actually develop the cultivation accordingly, so that you will not get lost. In order to shorten your cultivation and practice, you must have this determination or aspiration to have this understanding life of the life. Otherwise, whenever you are born in whatever civilization or in whatever world system or what, you don't have such determination or affirmation through power of merits, you can have a lot of coming obstruction, and you can never see the light to even connect. Because when there is no Buddha Sasana for aeons and aeons and aeons, just like the opening verse of all the Mahayana Sutta, this Dhamma are very rare. Even in 500 million aeons, you cannot find them unless you have the affinity, the understanding. So this is the reason why this Bodhisattva way has to be understood. So now I will read to you the preliminary. Yeah? This one I compiled the note myself. I will give you a copy next Tuesday when you come. Yeah? The Bodhisattva way. Yeah? The Bodhisattva way requires the cultivation. We are taking the Bodhisattva vow. So the Bodhisattva vow is the vow taken by Mahayana Buddhists to realize complete enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. One who has taken the vow is normally known as a Bodhisattva. So actually a Bodhisattva, the interpretation is very important. A lot of people don't understand. They thought if you aspire to become a Sammasambuddha, then you are a Bodhisattva. That is too general a term. You must have some requisite condition behind. You must have the understanding. Then you must determine that this is what you want, and this is how it can help you develop the understanding of the way or the realization of this Dhamma leading to enlightenment or liberation. So all these are very important. So Bodhi means enlightenment. Sattva is a being, means is an enlightening, walking the path of Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. Of course, there are two types of Bodhisattva. The first one is the one that have the condition to determine to become Bodhisattva because they know this is beautiful and this is the way. But most of the time, those who can have this condition, they already have the ability to become enlightened, or they have already realized the enlightenment in their past. Then they have the condition to continue to present life, yeah, to develop this way. But because of eons and eons of birth and death. Many birth, they could have forgotten who they are because the bodhisattva vow and bodhisattva way that they cultivate is not stable yet. Finally, they will come back to it, but it will take a long time if you don't have the right guidance and understanding. Because when you have the condition to take the bodhisattva vow, you must take, because it plants the seed of bodhi, the very, very seed of bodhi. Bodhi is the enlightened mind into your nature. And this bodhi mind or bodhi seed, when planted in the nature, when you make that vow sincerely, with faith and understanding, it will come forth, it will manifest whenever you arise, and it will bring forth the way, the causes and conditions for you to connect because of your refuge, because of your understanding, your aspiration and all these things. So all this will connect you back. Then it's also written here, one who has taken the vow is known as a bodhisattva, whereas the patimokkha or the normal precepts that you take, or the monk's precept and the nun's precept, they cease at death. Whereas the bodhisattva vow extend into future life because you vow life after life to actually fulfill this vow, to perfect this vow until sammasambuddhahood. Then there are two traditions of the Buddhist vow, one originating from Asanga and the other one from Nagarjuna. Nagarjuna is Longsu Pusa. Asanga is also a very great bodhisattva. Then a bodhisattva vow is found at the end of Avatamsaka Sutta by Samantabhara Bodhisattva, means Pusien Pusa. And it explained that the bodhisattva vow is taken with the following two famous verses from that sutta. The verse is, just as all previous Sugata or Buddhas generated the bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of bodhisattva training, so will my nature too, for the sake of all living beings, generate the bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of bodhisattva training. So this affirmation is very powerful. Then after that, the promise to keep the bodhisattva vow apply not only to this life, but to each subsequent lifetime until enlightenment, full enlightenment. Thus these vows continue on our mind stream into future life. Then in Tibetan Buddhism, there are two lineage of bodhisattva vow too. The first is associated with Chittamatra, movement of the Indian Buddhism tradition, and is said to have originated from Bodhisattva Maitreya and to have been propagated by Asanga. The second is associated with Mayamaka movement and is said to have originated from the Bodhisattva Manjusri Vansu Pusa, foremost in wisdom, and to have been propagated by Nagarjuna Longsu Pusa, and later by Shantideva. The main difference between the two lineage of bodhisattva vow is that the Chittamatra lineage are more stringent. The vow cannot be taken or received by one who has not previously received the monk or nun's precepts, the Patimokkha vows. In taking this vow, you will join the hundreds of thousands of Buddhists in the West. In the West means the Western disciple of the Theravada tradition and some Mahayana tradition, and millions in Asia who had done so. So you are not the few. Do not think that you are the very few. There are many who has taken. Tsuji itself has so many. Then as is traditional, you might seek out a Buddhist center or a temple to take the bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher, or you cannot do that. You can take them at home. Create a sacred place or space where there are images of bodhisattvas and Buddha who has gone forth before you. You wish to invite friends, especially Dhamma friends, to be your witness. sit quietly for a while and reflect on the beauty and value of a life dedicated to the Bodhisattva way to benefit all sentient beings. When you are ready, add any meaningful ritual, like the lighting of candles and taking of refuge, then recite your vow. Here is one traditional version, but there are many others. So this is a typical Theravada tradition one. They make it very general, because these are normally done by people who are not very familiar with the Bodhisattva way. But anyway, it's a good guide. They always recite this. Suffering beings are numerous or numberless. I vow to liberate them all. Attachment or suffering is inexhaustible. I vow to sever them all. Dhamma dos, the truth, are countless. I vow to master them all and perfect them all. The way of perfection leading to supreme enlightenment is very arduous. I vow to realize it and accomplish it. Then he said, you can modify the language of the two vows so that they speak very deep. So that they speak your very deep dedication. Then you can repeat them every time you sit in meditation to direct and dedicate your practice. This one you don't have to do it every time you sit in meditation. Maybe for the first 3 months, keep on going through all these vows. Familiar them yourself so that you understand them deeply, so that every time you cultivate, you meditate, at the end, you invoke power or merits for you to have this understanding life after life whenever you come. So on the 26th, I will teach you how to invoke all this. Then the notes are all there. Then you can keep them. Then refer to them off and on until they become very clear to you. And this is how the cultivation can bring forth great benefits. So what I will do is I will teach you to how to invoke the power of merits for you to actually develop the causes and condition so that you will have this type of right understanding, right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever you have to come or you choose to come in the form of a living being or form a mind. Then these are the things that you determine to understand. You must have right view with regards to the law of karma or karma niyama, right view with regards to the law of dependent origination or paticca samuppada citta niyama. Then right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma Niyama as taught by Lord Buddha and all the Sama Sambuddha. Then to understand the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind clearly, via the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self and empty. That is this called living, so-called living being, the five aggregate of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech and right action to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. So they are the one that the Buddha taught the monk how to recite. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Vedana anicchang, vedana anatta. Sanya anicchang, sanya anatta. You can chant it in Pali too. Rupang anicchang. In whatever vibration that can bring forth the understanding. This one you must cultivate until it's very clear. Until the moment you recite Rupang anicchang, you understand what these words are. All of form, whether physical or external, manifested mental form, they are all impermanent. Whatever you see and reflect on and contemplate, straight away you understand that is the ultimate cultivation. Then from then onward, you will never regress. Life after life, you will have this understanding. You come, you connect very fast. and you will have initially remnants of all this cultivation coming back to you. That's why when I was very young, I don't know why, I was so surprised when I was probing that time. That time I was very young, I think, form 5 or what. Then I like to look at nature. I like to look at the sky. Then when I look at the trees, the plant, all of nature, my mind is so quiet and so still. Then I saw the flow, the movement. That time I don't understand. What's the significance of all this? How come I can see all this that people don't pay attention? Most living beings are just thinking, 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 planning, worry, living their life and all things. But this mind inquire, reflect, investigate, and just silent. Then it can see all this. Then later on I realize this was what I have cultivated before. The mindfulness. The daily mindfulness. That's why it was so stable. Even before I meditate, I already had this ability to be mindful in the midst of life. Then I realized all these are connected with the past. Then this understanding has a lot to do with how you develop the cultivation. That's why this teaching has been lost. And now we are trying to revive it. Then after that, I even teach you how to develop this. Having developed the above right view, then this nature of mind vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precept, following the advice of all Sammasambuddha. The first is to avoid all evil and to develop the understanding, the clear understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why this essential Dhamma must be clear. Otherwise, no point, you just chant. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. What for? What constitutes evil? You don't know. You must have mindfulness to be aware of the mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And you must see with mindfulness the five mental hindrances when they arise. Then you understand how the non-arisen hindrances come to be. Then how you silence your mind and meditate, you understand how the arisen hindrance is to be. Then after you have penetrated and realized and awakened, then you will know how in the future the unarisen hindrance cannot arise anymore. So all this is what Satipatthana is all about, and you will understand them. Then after that, to cultivate all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. So this is more than just avoid all evil, do good. Here we talk about to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all. You do a lot more than what normal beings do. Then to cultivate wisdom, the third advice is to purify your mind, okay? So not only to purify your mind, to cultivate all wisdom so that you can help liberate and take across all sentient beings, means you have to penetrate all dhammas. That's why if you don't cultivate all, it's very difficult. Of course, the Buddha said the handful of leaves is enough to liberate you, the Four Noble Truths. But you have to go beyond. You have to understand many, many things. Because cultivation is not only about going into the teaching. When you have gone through samsara for so long, you don't know what type of karmic obstruction you have developed. That's why you cannot understand. You don't have the right view. You don't know what to do. That's why a lot of living beings suffer. That's why this life, I have helped many to come out of it through understanding how to ask for forgiveness, repentance and all those things. Then how to develop the vow not to repeat all this. Then how to invoke the power of merits after you have repented to cultivate according to the advice of the Buddha for causes and conditions, for all these karmic obstructions to dissolve or to the karmic repercussion so that they can be neutralized. Otherwise, it will continuously come and block you. And it's very difficult for you to find a way. Then you have to make aspiration for causes and conditions to avoid the fools. the heedless, meet out with the wise and enlightened ones, so that Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So all these are very vital. Then when they come to the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow, then we will go through all the stages. Then we will recite this nature of mind, further vow with utmost sincerity, faith, perseverance, to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way while taking the following initial four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Means this nature of mind vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vows to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. This nature of mind vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. Then this nature of mind vows to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfections to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. Then additional vows to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. Then the first one is to ask for forgiveness from Triple Gem, most important. If by action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, via ignorant delusion or heedlessness, this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. This one, you only have to do this, because the moment you ask for forgiveness, it connects through the nature's law. Because the Triple Gem, all these people, or this nature, they have already forgiven every being. You only need to request. Then after that, the second one is whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of yours or mine had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering or misled, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this coming obstruction can be amicably dissolved, or watered down, or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation, to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then this nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward vow never to repeat any of this coming negativity born of greed, hatred and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddhas to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Bodhisattva way or Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then finally, invoke the power of merits. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its Bodhisattva vow. Because karmic obstruction are very powerful. If you don't invoke power or merits for causes and conditions, chances are when you come, you will still be obstructed. Like many of you have already known, sometimes you misled people for many, many lives you don't even know. So all this is how you develop. Then there are additional miscellaneous vows to enhance the cultivation and all those things. I will go through it with you later on. Then the final note is, what are the 10 perfections? They are generosity or dana. Then sila is morality. Then renunciation is nikama. Then wisdom is panya. Then there is this virya or spiritual zeal. Then cultivate patient endurance via understanding, kanti. Then truthfulness or satya. Then adhittana or determination, aspiration and resolution. Then loving kindness, metta and upekkha. So these are the important things that we will do on the 26th, which is next Tuesday. Yeah? Okay, Paramasuri, I pass to you. You have photostat, 80 cents. Don't distribute until that day, please. Then keep it to yourself. Don't abuse it. You want to photostat additional copy and keep, you can. But please, don't abuse it and don't simply pass to people, because when they don't understand, they may create negativity or karma without them realizing it. If they just simply comment without understanding, they are going to get into trouble. We didn't do anything. These are nature's law. So if they are not of that condition to receive, to have the understanding, to appreciate, please don't try to do good. Don't try to help. No condition, forget about it. And all these people who have the condition, they will appear and they will have their own condition to come into contact. Then they will approach us, they will receive. Otherwise, don't try. Don't think that this can help everybody and you try to promote it. No, it's not meant for that. It is for you because you have condition. And if you are serious, you will progress very fast. You will benefit tremendously from it. Okay, now we will go into the book proper. We will read the foreword to you. For those who have the e-copy that I send to you, you can also refer to it. Then maybe now I will sit on that chair. Okay, turn to the forward page. This book consists of talk on the Bodhisattva precepts by Master Sun Yuan, given to the Zen Meditation Center in New York from December 6 to 8, 1997. Then, this is what they wrote in the foreword. We sincerely hope that this commentary on the Bodhisattva precepts will provide the reader with a clearer understanding of their meaning, as well as the inspiration to integrate this teaching into their life. That's why you have to integrate Dhamma into your life. Otherwise, it is not Dhamma. Dhamma are the living Dhamma. They are not theory. They are not knowledge. They are understanding which can be cultivated in the midst of life. And you can realize them because they stand up to investigation. Then we wish to acknowledge several individuals for their help in producing this booklet. So these are the people whom they have acknowledged. Mainly is Kuo Kuo, who is the one responsible for the translation. Then Simeon Gallo, the organization and editorial assistant. Then the International Affairs Office, Damadram Mountain. This book was printed in the year 2005. So it's already 11 years. Okay, we turn to the next page, introduction. There is a saying in Mahayana Buddhism, those who have precepts to break are bodhisattvas. You agree or not? Yeah? Because they are so serious. That's why they have precepts to break. Because it's very difficult when you have this vow not to break them. That's why the Buddha is very wise. He never said, thou shalt not. He said, we undertake the training rule to abstain wherever we can, to our understanding. So those who have no precepts to break are outer path. You know what is outer path? Wai Tao in Mandarin means not following Buddha Dhamma based on their own understanding. Then many Buddhists know that receiving the Bodhisattva vows generates great merit. See? When you receive this Bodhisattva vow, you generate great merits or precepts. Yet they believe this without a real understanding of the profound meaning of precept. That's why you must do it with understanding. You must receive it with understanding. Or of what keeping this precept entail. They receive the precept as a matter of course, knowing only that receiving them is a good thing to do. To try to remedy this situation, we are conducting the transmission of the Bodhisattva precept over the course of 3 days, so that prior to the formal transmission ceremony, I can explain to all participants the meaning and the significance of all these precepts within the Mahayana tradition. So you must understand clearly why you take all these precepts. So this book got a lot of good advice which Master Sun Yan has developed and come out with. But he didn't mention one thing. How does all these precepts come about? It is from right view with regards to the nature's law, law of karma, and it comes from the advice of the Buddhas. And who are the ones that violate precepts? Because the Buddha's first advice is to avoid all evil. Then you check all the precepts. Those who violate this precept, they are evil people. They have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why to avoid all evil, you must keep the minimum basic five very severe offense of precept. That is the five precept. That's why you must not allow your form and mind, whenever it arises, to violate this precept. It must not kill or cause harm to fellow living beings. It must not steal, cheat, or deceive, or take things that don't belong to them. That it must not have sexual desire or lust to commit sexual misconduct. That he must not have all this wrong speech. They must not tell lies. They must not backbite. They must not arise harsh, angry, deluded speech. They must not speak frivolously. So all these are the people who are evil. Who kill, who harm? The people who kill and harm, they are either selfish, deluded, or violent. Violent means have emotional negativity. They are very angry. They got a lot of hatred, a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy. That's why they are capable of killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. They can bring forth war. That's why all these are evil people. People with evil mental intention, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you go on to the other precept, it's the same. Who steal? Greedy people, selfish people, deluded people. Then who commit sexual misconduct? Lustful people. Lust is part of greed. Deluded people. They are even willing to sacrifice their family unit, the harmony, the peace, and the love just for the moment of lust. So when you don't have this understanding, you become deluded. And you make a lot of mistakes. Then the law of karma is you reap what you sow. In future, you become the victim. Now you do this to people. In future, you become the victim. And when people do to you, you complain. You say, how can my spouse or my husband do this to me? But in the past, when you do to people, you never ask this question, how can I do this to fellow living beings? That's why as a bodhisattva, you can never do this. That's why you come for the living being. You keep your vow, you keep your precepts. You hold on to them with understanding. So likewise, the other precept is the same. When you partake intoxicant, it makes your consciousness very low and you will fall. That's why it will arise the condition for you to break all the other four precepts. So these are very dangerous things. And through delusion, all this can happen. That's why delusion will lead to greed, hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and all those things. Then I read on. Each participant, after understanding what keeping this precept involves, is free to decide for himself or herself whether or not to take them. In this situation, many participants in the past did decide to take the precepts, means the Bodhisattva precept, and were able to happily commit themselves to the Bodhisattva way. transmitting the precept. In this way, allowing aspirant to take them in good conscience and with proper understanding can help aspirant plant the seeds of Bodhi or Buddhahood with no feeling of compulsion or guilt in their mind. The virtue in vowing to observe the Bodhisattva precept is that it enables us to practice or cultivate diligently to purify our mind. These codes of behavior may also help us interact with others in a more peaceful and harmonious manner if we can purify the action of our body, speech and mind through cultivating the three sets of pure precepts, the five precepts, the 10 meritorious actions. Then with the wisdom such cultivation or practice gives us, we can banish or eradicate craving, covetousness, anger and all other afflictive emotions. With a Bodhisattva mind of compassion, we can accept and cherish all sentient beings. And by purifying our own conduct, we can help to transform society at large. Even in the midst of suffering, each individual sentient being can attain the altruistic body-mind and also help others arouse this awakened mind of wisdom. The combination of vow and precepts that we are transmitting here includes the four great vows. That's why you got the three sets of pure precepts and the four great vows. The three sets of pure precepts, the five precepts and the 10 meritorious actions is quite accessible to everyone. There are ample flexibility in practicing the three sets of pure precepts so long as their fundamental principle is adhered to. These precepts are to be adopted to the different situations that a practitioner of the Bodhisattva way may encounter. Such flexibility makes the precept relatively easy to cultivate for a wide variety of people. As these precepts also function as guidelines for wholesome behavior for Buddhists, the commitment to cultivate them is a valuable undertaking for all practitioner. I dare not change the content of the Bodhisattva precept, nor do I have the virtue necessary to invent new ones. I have simply referred to the various system of Bodhisattva precepts in both the Chinese and Tibetan tradition and adopt them to fit the need of modern practitioner. In doing so, my hope is to promote the actualization of the spirits of the Bodhisattva precept. And I encourage all cultivator or practitioner to receive and practice them. So this is very important. Huh? You got nothing to lose. Always remember. So don't listen to what people say and the thought tell you. Are you serious? This is serious matter. Nothing to do with that. Answer not. Ask yourself. What have I got to lose by taking the vow? I got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. I develop understanding. The vow guide me along and create all the understanding to connect, to develop affinity with all the Buddhas, great Bodhisattvas, and to connect to their nature so that they can always protect, bless and guide you. Then you can develop profound gratitude towards them, respect towards them. Then all the wholesomeness will arise. Then it will strengthen your resolve to transform the spiritual faculty into powers. Then from there, you will progress very fast. Then you will determine to do all this because you benefited from all these beings that go this way. Understand? Do you understand? So that it is your turn now. You have the condition and the understanding to go this way so that in future, you can also benefit other living beings. So you play your role. And whenever you do all this, you are not doing for living beings, understand not? The nature's law of karma is what? You reap what you sow. Whatever you do, perfected, it is to your own nature. That's why in future when you come, you will receive all this wholesomeness. Because like I used to tell you all, when my nature come, how come all come together? Everything come. And this nature can receive so fast. sometimes even the teacher or whoever who speak that truth have not realized or penetrated. But this nature here, listen, understood, penetrate. It's because this is the way this nature has been giving and sharing for many, many lives, eons and eons. That's why when it comes, it will receive equally fast. That's why whatever wholesomeness you do, they will come back to your nature, where you reap what you sow. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, you will receive the fruit of virtue, wholesomeness. In Mandarin, is even more beautiful. That's why the law of karma, they say, 种因结果, means you plant the condition, you will receive the result, the fruit of it. So, 种善因结善果, you plant the seed of virtue, you will reap the seed of virtue, the fruit of virtue. 种恶因结恶果, you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the affliction of suffering and evil. The law of karma will manifest. That's why between the two, what will you choose? Do you want to choose to plant the seed of evil through your heedlessness and your delusion, so that your karmic nature will fall and you will become miserable life after life when you come? The choice is very obvious. You want to plant the seed of wholesomeness, virtue. Then what must you do? You must train your mind to be heedful, to understand what constitutes evil. Then you have to keep your precept, because this is the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets good. Begets evil. And the reason why you have to do this is because according to the Buddha, this is a nature's law. Each and every living being, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of your karma. So your karma plays such a great role in your life. If you still don't wake up to this right view and determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, so that you can take care of your karma, you are going to have a lot of suffering and affliction in future. Even you start now, it's going to take a while to clean up all the things, so that all this condition from now onward, no more evil, or little or no more evil, and then only you can have causes and conditions to plant this over a long period of time, so that whenever you come, you don't have to pay back anything. You don't have all this negativity. Then whatever you get is just very mild. Yeah? Like recently, when my this left leg got problem, when the muscle developed spondylosis thing, it is meant to be. I take the pain. Vincent came and treat me 1.5 hour. You know how to endure his treatment. And he came twice. I had a lot of gratitude. I thank him. But I would rather take this pain in the form of this physical body via this way than to have it through accident, Anasana. Then land up in hospital and worse. And that type of suffering, I tell you, worse. And instead of having mental suffering, you just take them through different way. So all this cultivation can bring about the understanding, and you can avoid all the major karmic negativity, because you break your karmic obstruction first. Then you vow to repent and not to repeat all this. Then you invoke power merits for you to go the right way. Then in future, after that, all your cultivation is all the way up. No more falling back. Means life after life, you accumulate so much blessings, virtues and understanding that you can hardly commit any evil. Hardly. Well, when I came this life, I realized I got very little karma coming to pay back. Very minor during the early days. Very, very minor. Relatively. And there are still, because even minor, it will still arise. But comparatively, you are like very blessed. Everything like go your way. And you are like very well protected everywhere, every moment, every instant. Because you understand the teaching. You know how to invoke the power of merits. and vow and develop affinity with all the great beings. Their nature will protect you, guide you, and bless you. So these are all very important understanding. Okay, we go on. The source of compassion. Love, kindness, and compassion are the very foundation of Buddhism. From a general perspective, this virtue corresponds to similar values held in many other religions, religious tradition, and spiritual practices. However, in Buddhism, genuine love and compassion arise from a penetrative insight into the true nature of our own existence. That's why when we understand ourselves, we understand others. And thereby, more firmly grounded in a practitioner's experience, we can understand this from two perspectives. First, from the perspective of interdependence, we see that no phenomena in the world, whether materialistically or mentally, exists independently of other phenomena. All beings and things are intimately related to one another through cause and effect. All of the activity engaged in by a seemingly independent entity are actually connected to and affected by the activity of other entities in an integrated infinite network. Everything that exists relies on the innumerable apparent external factors for their existence. Separation from this vast system of connectivity between all things would make existence impossible. This is the profound reality of the nature of the world we live in. That's why nature's law. And of course, it is also the reality of our own individual life as we live them. We are all connected to each other and all to all living things and beings, both sentient and insentient. On the human scale, we can see the truth of interdependence in the fact that no person can live entirely apart from society. We depend on the assistance of other human beings for everything we have, from the basic necessity of life such as food, clothing, shelter, on up to the various forms of knowledge, skill that we acquire, and to the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment we derive from our work. If we are fortunate to live in a relatively stable society, we should know that much of the order and stability in our daily life depend on the structure of our society and the work of other people in all sorts of public institutions. Similarly, global interrelationship and mutual influence between different nations and cultures are often dominated in the fields of economics, political science, and cultural studies. So this is how Sun Yuan Fa Si look at it, which is quite good. But the bigger picture is, of course, nature's law, which he didn't mention. On a larger scale, countless other forms of life, both sentient and insentient, have either direct or indirect influence on our well-being. Also, from the viewpoint of Buddhist belief in numerous past birth, future birth, each of us must have, in countless previous lives, once lived in a very close, direct connection to every other sentient being. All these other beings have been our mother, our father, our sister, and our brother. Each one time or other, have been the cause of our happiness. With this sort of outlook, how can we not have sympathy and concern for all beings? We can only feel a deep sense of responsibility for and gratitude towards them. Such gratitude in turn engenders genuine caring and love that goes beyond an individual love for his or her own family, race, or nation. The sort of love extends to all beings everywhere, spring from the very knowledge that we are truly all one family. A better way to explain this is like the Buddha's explanation. He said, do you know how long you have taken birth or not? You have shed more tears than the water in the four oceans. How long is that? Every life, how much tears do you shed? I ask you, 1 gallon? And the four oceans, oh, you know how many gallons? I tell you, amazing. That's why you could have been related in whatever way. But through karma, you forgot. That's why when they are born as your child, you thought, wow, my children. Actually, it's your karmic debtor that come back. to ask for the karmic debt. That's why qian, what in Mandarin you call what? Qian what? Zai zu? What? Yan qing zai zu. You still think your children, what can I do? He is my son. He is my daughter. Then the son and the children say, he has to do that because he is my papa. Well, last time you swindle them, make them miserable, you didn't know. Now, they swindle you, but through your own willingness to give it to them, and yet you become so miserable because of what they did to your wealth and they did to you. And you cannot do anything because you say, they are my children. So that's why it has to become your children, then only you can pay back. So law of karma is like that. You are not trapped in this physical form. You cannot experience the suffering. Where through delusion, you reap what you sow. When you cause suffering and misery to people, you don't know. So the other way that nature or karma, through nature's law, create the condition is very beautiful. That's why when you understand this nature's law, I tell you, you will never violate this law. Where it never worthwhile. I used to tell you all that, it's never worthwhile to violate any of these karmic things. The five precepts, you will hold on to it very, very severely or very seriously. Well, it's never worthwhile to violate. It show it to you in the cultivation. The moment you try something, hit back immediately. And this law of karma is so powerful. That's why cultivator of the way, they were determined to have this understanding. So lie after lie they come, they will connect very fast and they will never violate any of this because they understand it's never worthwhile. Okay, we go on. Second, from the perspective of equality of all conditions, all of these infinitely varied sorts of interrelation and connection among sentient and insentient beings give rise to multitude of individual threats and distinctions. However, since these seemingly unique and distinct entities are all contingent upon one another, not one of them can be said to exist autonomously and permanently in and of itself. This is the nature of emptiness. As we penetrate the depth of this conditionality through contemplation and cultivation of genuine compassion, we can understand personally and directly that all phenomena are empty of any inherent separate nature of their own. This essence or empty nature of all things reveals their likeness, their profound similarity with the realization of the non-duality, equal nature of existence, which is the experience of wisdom and unbound desire to help and benefit all beings indiscriminately, will then well up in our hearts. So this Friday, 22nd, I'll be giving a Klang talk. It's about the three characteristics of nature. It will benefit you a lot. I will explain all this in clearer terms. All this come about through penetrative insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. As real as it can be, is only within the moment. And how stable is the moment? Split second is dead and gone, and you still hold on to it. Ultimately, it's just a thought, nothing else. And what is thought? Arise and pass away. Arise and pass away. Through delusion, you grasp, you cling. That's why it has power to afflict you and make you so miserable. That's why people go into depression, commit suicide over what? Over the thing that they cannot let go or they cannot come to terms with. That's why all this, they are beautiful. When you understand, but when you don't understand, it can torment you, afflict you, and make you miserable. That's why without Dhamma, life is pretty tough and difficult. With Dhamma, it's beautiful and wonderful. In the Mahayana tradition, all sentient beings are identified or identical in nature to Buddha. All sentient beings have the potential to realize full enlightenment and manifest Buddhahood. A person walking the path to full Buddhahood must cultivate deep compassion for all living beings as if they were of one body with himself or herself. There is no wishful thinking, but rather a sincere motivation that inspires our action and compels us to live humanely in the world. When other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, it is as if we ourselves are suffering too. But the lack of wisdom to help either ourselves or others. This genuine concern and selfless love does not come from anyone or anything external, but rather from our insight into the nature of our own existence. Since insight is an ethical impulse of an enlightened being, it is both the motivation and the source of inner strength of a bodhisattva. So this one is Sun Yan Fa's point of view. Ultimately, actually, you are different when you have the understanding where there is no mark of self-cultivating, no mark of living being. They are within the conditioned world. The form and mind is subject to all this. But he couldn't explain. He didn't explain. That's why he just used his own understanding. That's why he said, when other sentient beings suffer in the depth of confusion, it's as if, he used the word, we ourselves suffer too. You won't have that delusion when you vow to liberate all living beings. You not purposely with desire, craving to go and help and liberate. No. When there is no condition, nothing can be done. But when there is condition, that love, that compassion, that understanding will extend to all, irrespective of who they are. Understand not? Because you know no reality. He know you, he know me. Everything is condition arising. You do not favor anything. Your relationship is for the form and mind, not real. Law of karma recognizes relationship, but not all this ultimate truth or ultimate understanding. That's why it's very different, the cultivation. But what he has written is a good guide, understand? Then who is a bodhisattva? We continue. For any Buddhist practitioner, the ultimate purpose of practice is to attain complete enlightenment or Buddhahood. To achieve this very lofty goal, we work to cultivate wisdom and accumulate merits. And through our practice, we are able to benefit both ourselves and others. The practice is precisely the task of a follower of a bodhisattva way or path as put forth in the three sets of pure precepts, which we undertake in the transmission ceremony to accrue merits and realize wisdom for the benefits of all living beings. Through the diligent cultivation of wisdom and virtue or merits, a bodhisattva cultivator or practitioner will attain Buddhahood. In other words, walking the bodhisattva path is the cause of Buddhahood. Buddhahood is the result of having accomplished the bodhisattva practice. In Buddhist circle, we hear the word bodhisattva frequently. Among Chinese Buddhists, bodhisattva translated as pusa in Chinese or in Mandarin. Is commonly used simply as a title with which to address a fellow practitioner. It is also often used by monastic as an honorific when speaking to or about a lay person. They used to say, everyone is a pusa. You have love and compassion to actually be a blessing to all. In a little way, you are a bodhisattva, pusa. They always say, posatsima. You know what is that? The heart of a bodhisattva means you have great love and compassion. You can selflessly serve and benefit other living beings when there is condition. On the other hand, non-Buddhists visiting a Buddhist monastery may think that bodhisattva are the statue placed on the altar. And so that one is statue, understand? That's why Ren Jian Pusa, the one that is within society, in the midst of life, these are the real bodhisattva, living bodhisattva. In short, many people, both Buddhists and non-Buddhists alike, do not know the true significance of the term bodhisattva. Therefore, clarification of this term is essential for our understanding of what the bodhisattva practice entails. formed by the conjuncture of two Sanskrit words meaning enlightenment and sentient being. Respectively, the word bodhisattva denotes an enlightened sentient being. Enlightened refers to the quality of having achieved to some degree of enlightenment, awakening and understanding, or mindfulness. This concept has a very rich multifaceted meaning with many nuances. Sentient being refers to a living being who experiences the world through sentient feeling, sensation and emotion. Thus, bodhisattva can be understood as having four levels of meaning. First, the being described by this word aspire upwardly to attain supreme wisdom or enlightenment, to become Samasambuddha. Secondly, this being aspire to do this in order to bring genuine benefits to all other sentient beings so that they too will attain enlightenment. Thirdly, each bodhisattva seeks to fully awaken his or her own nature or Buddha nature. Fourth, while striving for this kind of full awakening, a bodhisattva strives just as hard to awaken all the numerous living beings in this, to the same Buddha nature, intrinsic to each and everyone. By considering these four levels of meaning together, we come to the following definition of a bodhisattva: a person who aspires to Buddhahood while seeking to enlighten all sentient beings on the path. So this is his way of defining. Eh? Well, what I explained is more important just now. When you have the condition to have this understanding, you must aspire, because it is going to help you tremendously. So that life after life, this understanding will stay with you. Because this life, you must put it into practice, cultivate, investigate, and see the beauty of it, and realize how it has helped you to understand life, transform your life, and make you so different. And with this, you will know, even before the true awakening, that this is the way. And it will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to awaken. That's why you will determine life after life, because you know it will never go wrong. Well, after you understand this teaching, and you put it into practice, you realize your life changed tremendously, your understanding changed, and you are so different. The self-centeredness is gone, sakayadity is gone, the delusion of this form and mind is gone, where you know clearly what this form and mind is. It's not you, karmically conditional. That's why in the vow, I will help you to invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to plant within the Bodhi mind this understanding, life after life, whenever you arise, choose to come or have to come. And this is very important. We are the conditions started at the Cameron Highland Retreat. Otherwise, these 2 weeks of thing won't happen. You remember on the second last day, before we go back the next day, when we actually recited all those things, then all of a sudden, I think, the last one, Joyce, she's here, when she recited this Om Pemi Memi Hum, it was so powerful. Kuan Yin's nature was so powerful. Then the condition just arrived that I invoke on behalf of all Kanyanamita this vow to have this understanding life after life whenever you come. It just happened. There was no intention to do it, because this nature knows if there is no condition, it cannot happen. This nature of mind cannot like want to help you. It's like the Buddha. He can share the understanding with you. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to awaken yourself. But when there is condition for things to happen, it's very different. Because of your parami, because of your fate, your condition, and the group collective consciousness, and this great being's condition. So what will happen? What will happen is, when the condition fall into place, thing will happen, it will arise. Then this nature just understand and it just manifests. That's why everything fall into place. Then when I came back, I realized it's meant to be, because there were many things that happened. Then I realized this one has to come out. Yeah? Because the beginning of last year, the Bodhisattva Way started the first day of the year, I think, people already wrote to me end of the previous year to request for this. Simultaneously during that week also, 1 or 2 weeks, so many. Then I replied, then I said, okay, I will agree to the special session. We have a special puja to that time. Then we have this sharing of the Bodhisattva Way. That time I didn't open up to all Kanyamita because I thought not everybody is ready. It's just the serious one. Then after that, over the last 1 year, 1 year plus, so many things happened. Like I explained in the final Satipatthana book, the condition for all these things to happen. You go and read through that yellow book. It's explained there. How all this teaching come about. They ask for the Diamond Sutta to be shared. They ask for the Platform Sutta to be shared. And before that, we already had the Surangama Sutta shared, Heart Sutta with all the notes. That's why everything like fall into place, meant to be. That's why all this come about. So I hope you understand how blessed you are because of the condition. So make full use of it. Do make full use of it. Yeah? So that after this life, everything is taken care of. All of your future life, future coming, even if you have to come or you choose to come, this understanding will be with you. And you will not fall. Understand or not? Huh? We are this teaching and this cultivation is not easy. You don't have the condition. It is impossible, I tell you. Near to impossible. Without sasana, you can forget about it. Only the handful, the great bodhisattva and all those cultivators of the way who really have this understanding, they can survive. Apart from that, hardly anyone will make it. But because of condition, many will make it. Okay, we go on. How to overcome difficulties? I will have to skip some because not much time left. Without the experience of enlightenment, how can experience of Mahayana tradition, meaning Bodhisattva, rise to the seemingly impossible task of helping all sentient beings to become enlightened? That's why chances are when you take this vow, either in the past you have already had the understanding or this life you have the ability to awaken. That's why the condition come and you have the ability to do it. That's why just go ahead and do it. Don't be influenced by the thought. Do not doubt. Have faith. You got nothing to lose. Then this will pave the way for many, many things to happen. Yeah. That's why he said, without the experience of enlightenment, how can aspirant of Mahayana tradition, meaning the Bodhisattvas, rise to the seemingly impossible task of helping all sentient beings to become enlightened? How can practitioner on the Bodhisattva path truly help others attain enlightenment when they themselves have not done so? So daunted by such question, many practitioners place exclusive emphasis on cultivating faith in and devotion to the Buddha, while others focus solely on striving to realize emptiness, wishing to escape from the toil and troubles of life. Such responses are understandable, as we are all only human beings. If we do not know how to swim, how can we go? How are we going to save others from drowning? And if at last we have learned how to swim and managed to get ourselves safely to the shore, why jump back into the roaring water and risk our life to save living beings? This attitude has led some practitioners to strive hurriedly to liberate themselves from suffering. Now this is what I meant by you have Theravada thinking. Understand? Who say all this? Your thought. Understand? Alienated from the sentient world, these people seek only to remove themselves from the ocean of samsara. It becomes extremely difficult and takes an incalculable long time for them to generate even the bohi mind, asana. Because the self is there, asana. Not to say impossible, but take a long, long time. But they haven't planted the seed of bohi to realize Buddhahood. And this is the one that can really take you along the path and awaken. Otherwise, the self is so strong, understand not? Just like this one, huh? Why jump back? Who jump back? He think he exists, understand not? He think, he have already strived so hard, no, out of the suffering world, no, out of samsara, no, safely to the shore, no. Then why jump back to the roaring water and risk our life to save others? To them, is no more meaning. Means what? The atta is still there, understand not? You cannot liberate. You cannot awaken. So in order, in fact, in order to save living beings from drowning, one should not leave the water and seek safety on shore, understand not? And if you do not know how to swim, then the only place to learn is in the water, understand not? Whether we like it or not, likewise, the bodhisattva path must be cultivated in the midst of suffering, in the whirlpool of cyclical existence. However, to keep our head above water, what do you need? We need strength and skill, as we cannot rely solely on the power of Buddhas and wait to become completely enlightened. Discernment, unshakable faith and vow, see? Constant cultivation of love and compassion and a penetrative insight into the nature of emptiness, means the three characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, are the four things we can bank on. Maintaining a balance in the four areas will safeguard and sustain us in time of difficulties. Eventually, it will subdue our vexation and afflictions or emotion, leading us to the realization of emptiness, to the understanding of the interconnectedness of all beings and all conditions. Actually, it's to penetrate the three universal characteristics, then you will have all this understanding. Then you will know the importance of the three sets of pure precepts. When you avoid all evil, you keep your precept, it's meritorious. When you cultivate the Dhamma, the ten meritorious sections are all there. Then when you cultivate all blessings and all merits and virtues and perfect them all, you know what happened? These are the things that will help you through in time of difficulty, in time of tribulation, in time of need. Invoke power of blessing. That's why they will become useful and handy. If you don't have all these tools, you cannot survive within the ocean of samsara. You will become miserable. But when you have all this, it becomes so easy. You can even save them by advising them what to do, just like what I did. Asana. So easy. Ask for forgiveness, repent, follow the advice of the Buddha, then develop wholesomeness and cultivate, then invoke power of merit. Is it so difficult? It's so easy. That's why you must vow, life after life when you come, you must have this understanding. This is how you break your karmic obstruction. Otherwise, it's not easy. It's pretty difficult. That's why karma, you don't play a fool. It can really obstruct you. And you don't know how to overcome them, you will become miserable. You will continue to play the game of suffering, life after life. Entangle yourself through delusion. So to find the path and to tread firmly along, we must undertake and commit to the bodhisattva vow and precepts. This is the first step we should take to establish and maintain ourselves on a definite course that leads towards Buddhahood. That's why you have to start from somewhere with understanding, commitment. Then when the condition is there, you just persevere. Understand not? The faith, the sincerity and perseverance will take you along the way. Then I teach you how to establish affinity with the great beings and Buddhas and Bodhisattva, their nature. Then invoke power of merits for their blessing, protection and guidance. Then thank them profoundly, profusely, sincerely. Then have gratitude towards them. And it will build up the causes and conditions. And the path is very simple after that, where you don't have to do it all alone. You develop affinity, you connect, and all this understanding will come. Causes and conditions will arise. Your form and mind, which is very delicate and fragile and vulnerable, will survive no matter what happens. Okay, the next one is very important, on Vinaya practice. To help us put our vow into practice and provide ourselves with a clear set of behavioral guidelines, we commit ourselves to a code or discipline set for in a given system of precepts. The Sanskrit term for various code or system is Vinaya, which can be translated into English as discipline or restraint. That's why we undertake the training rule to restrain from violating the precept. According to the scripture, Sakyamuni Buddha did not establish a set of code of conduct for his disciple during the first 12 years of his teaching. Now you understand. No need patimokkha for the first 12 years. Because they are all enlightenment. Then later on, got a lot of funny monk came in. That's why you got more and more, and until 227 before he died. Because during these early days, practitioner achieve such a high level of spiritual attainment and have such strong, deep, positive karmic root that they never engage in any sort of unwholesome or destructive activity. It was not until the occurrence of specific instance of misconduct and threatened the integrity of the Sangha and the ability of his disciple to practice the liberation way path that the Buddha began to institute rules or behaviors for his followers. Thus, we should note here that the precepts were not founded in a vacuum on a set of abstract principles, but in direct response to specific situation and problem that arise within the early community of practitioners. So the intention behind the establishment of the Vinaya was not to randomly impose a set of discipline on practitioner, but rather to give them a set of realistic guidelines that would help them persevere in following the teaching of the Buddha and ultimately attain liberation. Actually, the precept is more of a guideline. They are only needed when you are under training, understand not? Because the Buddha don't want you to fall. If they have not introduced the precept, a lot of people will take it lightly and they will fall. Where they will say, the Buddha never say I cannot do this one. Who are you to tell me? So at least the precepts are there. They actually have this fear. But fear is not the intention of what the Buddha understand. It's a sort of restraint while you are going through the cultivation. That's why you cannot sit on high seat and all say, why? Because if you don't have this rule, all the monks, I tell you, they will not only waiting for dana or offering, they will ask for it. Can you chain my this one? Then the devotee will come. What else you want? Then they will give them a long list. But because the patimokkha say like that, so the chair also cannot be fancy. The chair, the bed also cannot be of that type. So all these are meant for cultivator. It's to train them. Then the other thing about this patimokkha thing is, remember the Diamond Sutta we went through, chapter 6? First 500 years, what happened? During the Buddha's time, Sasana, when he was still around, and the first 500 years was so beautiful. There was this very strong age of liberation, Anasana, enlightenment, where all become enlightened very fast. Second 500 years, the era of Dhyan Samadhi, the energy field, the concentration, the Hindu one come back. Then the third 500 years is what? The era of Sutta. Oh, all the Sutta come already. Then after that, the fourth 500 years, which is the year 2000 and beyond, all the division already. You know, so method, technique, teacher, vipassana, everything come out. Exactly like what the Buddha predicted. Understand? All the division. That is what is happening. So when you don't understand, there is a problem. So the Buddha told his disciple Ananda that only the maintenance of the Vinaya would ensure the continued existence of the Dhamma in the world. That's why without the Vinaya rule, the Sangha become like misguided. Wow. But when the rules are not understood, it also don't serve the purpose. Then people circumvent it through other definition or justification. He went on to say, however, that by this he meant the fundamental principle of Vinaya practice as embodied in the five major precepts. See, this five major precepts. prohibiting killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, verbal misconduct, and using of intoxicant. So these five you must keep minimum, even for lay people, because this is the essence of precepts. The others are actually minor precepts, spin off from all these severe, heavy precepts. As for the multitude and detail, minor precepts upheld by monastic, which has been formulated in response to particular incident, the Buddha gave to his follower permission to dispense with them as needed, should changing condition cause such rules to become more of a hindrance than a help. He added that in no way should codified sets of regulation prevent his follower from performing beneficial action in given situation, and that should they encounter ethical practice which conform to the spirit of the Vinaya and prove to be of benefits, but which he had not specifically mentioned, they should not hesitate to adopt them. See, the Buddha is so flexible, so it's not rigid. Then the rest you read on. I will have to skip through. Then we turn to page, the five precepts all you read on. The 10 marital section also we read on. Turn to page 29. The three sets of pure precept. This one is very important. The precept that has been discussed above are common to both Theravada, the vehicle of individual liberation, and to all school of Mahayana, in which emphasis is placed on the Bodhisattva practice, striving for the benefits of all sentient beings. So the essential purpose of transmitting the Bodhisattva precept is to arouse in the people's mind an altruistic spirit of service to others and a firm determination to the pursuit of enlightenment. Such spirit is called the Bodhi mind. Bodhi is a Sanskrit word derived from the same root as Buddha, and it can be translated to mean awakening or enlightenment or wisdom. The foundation of the Bodhi mind is embodied in the four great vows we take to deliver the innumerous sentient beings, to cut off all suffering or endless vexation, to master the limitless approach to Dhamma, and to attain Supreme Buddhahood. To help us actualize these four Bodhisattva vows, basic vows, we need to vow further to observe certain principles and guidelines that may help us conduct ourselves in an ethical and humane manner and purify our mind of the three evil roots of poison, or greed, hatred, and delusion. For this purpose, here we transmit what is known as the three sets of pure precept. This is how it comes in, you listen. Which contain the essential principle of all the different system of Bodhisattva precept codified over the course of Mahayana Buddhism's long rich history. Functionally, these three sets of pure precept leads a cultivator or practitioner to renounce all evil by keeping the precept. But they didn't emphasize on what constitutes evil, understand or not? That's why you must understand what constitutes evil. That's why I modified this and I make it a lot better. On the 26th, when you take, you will know. Just now I read through already. Then accumulate merits by performing beneficial deeds. Again, it's not enough. You have to cultivate all virtues and blessings until you reach perfection of them. And work on the salvation of all sentient beings. So this one, you need to cultivate wisdom so that you can liberate and take them all across. Then the vow to keep this precept embody the spirit of Mahayana Buddhist practice means following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil or stop all evil, to do good and to deliver all sentient beings. In a very real sense, this vow has been seen as the ultimate expression of the aspiration of all Buddhists in all eras. So these are very important. The rest you skip and you go to page 32. It is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precept, one generates vast amount of merits. That's why this one you must bear in mind. This can be understood as follows. When you take the precepts, the Bodhisattva precept, a seed is planted deep in your consciousness, where this seed of Bodhi has been planted for the benefits of all sentient beings. The natural consequence of its maturation as you nurture it by keeping the precept is to grow. It's a growth in your compassion and a weakening in your propensity to do harm. So now you understand, huh? With sustained cultivation and practice, there naturally arises in you a tendency towards wholesomeness as you increasingly go through life, acting on the basis of love and compassion. You will come to experience a sense of security and stability. Why is this? Because quite simply, you are no longer living for life in a self-obsessively self-centered, self-concerned way, always worrying about your own well-being and feeling constantly threatened and insecure. And now you understand why the Theravada way got problem. As your life is dedicated to others, you become less and less concerned with your personal benefit, gains and loss. Consequently, you no longer live in fear and cease to be agitated or plagued by suffering and vexation. Understand not? Where you come for the living being is no more you. That delusion is severed. And these are very important. Which are all caused by self-attachment, you achieve stability of mind. The stability and security you so experience then create in turn an atmosphere of stability and security around your person that is palpable to other sentient beings. They feel safe around you, understand not? That's why when you are with me, you feel good, you know? You feel safe and you can trust. Then you can grow your cultivation and wisdom. So you will have this ability when you go this way.
Yeah.
Then people can feel you. They feel safe around you. And because you are of genuine compassion and love, never intend to harm them, but only try to be of help, they always feel a sort of joy in your presence. Means joy and security. And they feel safe with you. They can trust you. They have faith in you. Thus, an immediate and very concrete way, you, after receiving the Bodhisattva precepts of vow, are benefiting sentient beings, a deed that generates a vast amount of merits. That's why this vast amount of merits come from. And it is in this way that we undertake the practice of the three sets of pure precept to deliver all living beings. The observance of the precept actualizes our intention as put forth in the four great vows of the Bodhisattva and set us decisively and firmly on the Bodhisattva way. So now you understand, this is the most important page. Make a note. Then page 35, on violation of precept. The three sets of pure precept and the four great vows, once received by a practitioner or a Bodhisattva, are maintained across however many lives it may take for the recipient to attain the complete enlightenment. Once the seed of love and compassion and wisdom, also known as the essential precepts, or the essence of precept, has been sown in the mind of the cultivator or practitioner through the transmission of the Bodhisattva precepts of vow, it will remain in the recipient's storehouse consciousness or alaya consciousness, means within your deep nature, recess of your consciousness, and can only be cast off through the recipient's express declaration of his or her intention to abandon the Bohimai. That's why you can still do that if you want to in the future. A recipient of the Bodhisattva precept cannot lose or negate the essence of precepts simply by breaking one of them. Understand not? Do not fear. After that, you will still break, but you will learn from it. And you will understand that it's never worthwhile to break them. Until later on, there is no way you can break. Then the rest you read. I have to rush too because 10:30 already. Oh, no more. Oh, good. The rest you go and read. Yeah, the rest are not important. Yeah, I never mark in yellow, means not important. Oh, okay, good. Finish. 10:30. Sao tong. We still got 1 minute. Any question? Any question? Next Tuesday, you make sure you come. Then we do it with understanding. You go through today's sharing. It's very useful, very unique, very important. And hopefully with this, the Bodhisattva way will flourish. And Kayanamita will become very different, I tell you. is happening earlier on, year by year. Now it's day by day. Later on, moment to moment. Because the Kalyanamita force has become so strong. So strong. Because of the Kalyanamita fund and the way we share. And the causes and conditions that we bring forth. And of course, the retreat and all those things. And all these last few years, the Dhamma book that came out from 2014, 2015, and 2016, I tell you, they are very important understanding that the world has lost them. Yeah. The moment living beings understand this, the cultivation becomes very simple, very different. And they will know how to overcome all their life problem, their karmic obstacle and all those things. They will know how to invoke power of merits to turn around. Then the consciousness can become beautiful. That's why from now onward, a lot of things can happen to our world consciousness. Yeah? And a lot of beings are rejoicing. That's why these are the things that are very, very rare. And it has the condition to manifest. That's why 208, the request came. So all this, they come about because of causes and conditions. Okay? Any question? Yeah. Yes.
When you were doing the sheet of paper, that there was one section that you said that, if I got it right, that it's good to retake the vow for a period of about 3 months. Did I hear it
not,
right?
Not to say retake the vow. You have to actually go through those notes that I have given to you, because they are the vows that you take, so that you actually develop strong commitment, faith, and sincerity to walk this way. And as you reflect, contemplate, you develop deeper understanding, then your nature will suddenly shine forth. Because when you see the beauty and the benefit of going this way for the sake of living being, your nature will actually arise, and it's very different. Because at that time, I remember when I was with my second last teacher, when he talked about all this, it connect through, then deep inside, it just arise. Then, like later on, he also wrote to me and told me, I will continue from where I stopped, this way. Yeah. And she knew a lot of things about my nature. Yeah. That's why very different. Then that time, my nature understood all this. The moment he mentioned all this, all the understanding came back. That's why now I can do it differently for you all, based on my understanding and the way I evolve it. Understand not? Because I am an expert in one of the perfection, adhittana. Aspiration, vow, determination. That is the perfection that this nature has perfected. And because of that, my nature knows how to use this. And that's why it can bring forth a lot of understanding and speed up the cultivation in a very, very great way. And it can bring forth the understanding very fast. Because you don't have to do anything. You only know how to do all this. Because you are invoking power of merits and blessing, understand? And these are the things that through the nature's law work for you, pave the way for you. That's why I used to tell most of the Kalyanamita who are close to me, technically this line, I didn't do anything. The form and mind come, and it has the causes and conditions all planted from the past. That's why everything is so direct and like so smooth sailing, so perfect. It just happened by itself. Why? Because of the understanding from the past. That's why it has set the vow and the aspiration to be so straight and so clear. That's why every life it comes, it has this understanding, and everything is taken care of. I don't have to depend on anybody or anything. Understand? Everything is self-sufficient. And I just share. No condition. Nothing will happen. Got condition, you got affinity, you will come. And how did I create affinity? You remember? There was one vow. Whosoever, yeah, who arise as food for this nature of mine to take, I vow to liberate them all. That's why you can become food for this nature to eat. You will benefit. That's why all those fish that I eat. But how many can I eat? Understand? Of course, one life, not that many. But over the eons and eons and eons, it can be many. That's why a lot of you could have been fish. Or any of this meat that I have taken before. But most of them have affinity with my nature, like this life, understand? Initially, maybe as fish, as animal, or chicken, or satay. But later on, when you understand, you develop different understanding, then you become Kayanamita, like this life. Then we have such affinity. Do you think this affinity come by chance? It's not by chance. And I can tell you, in future, that's why we go to all the Puttosan, you remember? Guanyin's nature, Ermeisan, Chuhuasan, and Wutaisan. You know, some of the Kayanamita say, oh, how nice I can have affinity with all this creeping. You never knew. It's just like this life. You never knew what this nature is, Sanasana. One day, let's say you know that this nature has a nature like all these beings, you will be in tears, I tell you. Because you can never know. Then you are actually with the, like Mimi say, with the living one, understand? And yet you don't know. And yet you think it's just an ordinary cultivator. Then in future, when this one become like all these beings with the statue and the altar, then you come back as living being. Then you go there, spiritual tree. How come got tears one? How come like got very deep connection? Why? Because you met this being before, but you don't know who this being are. And there are many like that one. That's why you go to all these spiritual, that tears come. It's like there is something happening, your nature know, but you don't know. Your thought can never know. That's why do not be deluded anymore. Don't sleep anymore. Wake up. Okay? We better end, otherwise we won't end, I tell you. We will extend until 2 o'clock. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Sharing of merits with the demons. Akasata Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakan Tuloka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chaamehi Sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. We invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena Sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Yeah, the recorder, both are working, so you don't worry. Huh? Today on recorder, sure recorder. Yeah, okay.
I propose to buy 2 extra fans for the Tuesday.